Another game, another loss to Thatcher Demko. The Canucks. No, basically Thatcher Demko.
Yep.
Another disappointing loss. They didn't play bad. You're not going to say they played bad.
Keith said they played good.
But they did play good. But in net, well, in front of their own net and in net, they have their struggles.
Context, they is the Leafs.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But again, it's just another situation where can't get that timely save. And Campbell struggled, obviously, since the January 1st.
After All-Star break.
Yeah. So ever since they had their little COVID break. Shutdown. But ever since that break, they both goalies haven't been good when Mrazek came back anyways. But they're struggling. And it's just – they didn't like that Matthews line. Matthews was an animal on Saturday.
Yep.
He was an animal. That was like a guy – that's the word I'm looking for. Not a man on a mission, but
Yep, like the song.
I can't remember. You know what I mean. But that line's working. The Tavares Robertson got to play on the second line. Looked great. On the it's weird. It's like when you put a skilled player in a position with more ice time, other than 5 to 10 minutes, on the second line with two stars. It's like he's gonna play better.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. But Robertson looked great. He looked really good. I think that he finally looked comfortable.
That's what we've been saying.
Yeah. Then what do you expect the kid to do with 5 minutes of ice time? 5 to 10 minutes, whatever he got. I think he got like anywhere between there. But he looked good. I think they're going to keep him in a top six role until Kasha comes back.
Yeah.
They'll keep him there.
It's kind of making her feel useless.
When is he coming back?
Kasha?
He's been out the minimum, but they've said nothing.
They said it was undisclosed.
Yeah.
And with his history, you'd assume concussion, but he's...
Well, did they list his upper body?
They listed as undisclosed. They didn't say. Ooh. But he's like one of those raw sort of players. If you watch him, he's all over the place. He's not structured. He's not Tavares, like stability. He's crazy. Even Wayne Simmons, he's like, slow down. Kasha's like, I can't. Like,
Kasha will run through you. Yeah, he'll run right through you if he won't stop.
So after that tough loss, Campbell had a tough game, and his interview showed it after. But he was more upbeat than like he usually is, which I think is good. It's showing that he's kind of mastering the mental part of the game, and they keep talking about it. Like Craig Simpson kept mentioning it. He's like, he's struggling with the mental part of the game. He's trying to get better at it. And after the game, he pretty much said, I promise I'll get out of it. I got to get on a roll again. He's basically said, I'll get back. He said he promised he will. He's basically telling the fans that he's happy that they're still with him, but he knows he's not playing his best right now.
Yeah. And I think the fans have a little bit more leniency with him because of the kind of personality Jack Campbell is. Because they know if you rain on his parade, but if you bring negative energy towards him, it's not going to help anything.
No.
Because the guy's already always down in the dumps. Even when a loss isn't on him, he blames the loss on him, right? You saw that even in the Game 7 last year.
Yikes.
I mean, that first goal, that was the worst goal he allowed in the series. But the team played like garbage in front of him, so it wouldn't have made a difference.
He blamed himself on the 2-0. What are you going to do there?
Like, it's just kind of in his nature. It's the his personality. He's that kind of player that kind of always looks at himself. And, I mean, goaltenders... in a way, really do decide the game. Obviously, we don't play off time. That really decides a factor.
It's your most important. It's the most important position.
Yeah, exactly. But the main thing is that he has to get his confidence up. Yeah. That's the thing. And even if you're okay, the mental side can be tough, right? A lot of guys, it can be hard to kind of get over that hurdle and kind of try to stay that short-term memory and kind of stay in front of, you know what I mean? Like look forward, don't look back kind of thing. You have a tough game, you got to put it behind you. But for him, it's a good step, I think that. But it was funny. I was going through Twitter on, like, Saturday night or Sunday night, one of them. Andrew Raycroft. Oh, it was Saturday night, yeah. Andrew Raycroft. So James Myrtle tweeted, I know many are down on Campbell, but there's been some truly bizarre goals tonight. Raycroft. Huh?
Kind of were.
No, I know, but it was just... Andrew Raycroft replied, where was his sympathy? When I was in Toronto, and he had, like, what's it called? That emoji. Yeah, like I'll show you the emoji with like the
Agony
the glass eye, like the inspector. Yeah. kind of thing. So you go through the replies. The replies are funny. Someone says, Jack Campbell is currently 23-9-4 with a 9.17 save percentage and cost us Trevor Moore, which also Sean Dursey, but they forgot that part. You, on the other hand, were an 894 and an 876 in your two seasons as a Leaf and cost us Tuukka Rask. You earned sympathy and patience. You don't get it for free. Okay. People just rip on him. Yeah. But I just found that funny. But it's true. But like, especially a guy like that. Like, Leafs Nation can be cruel, but Jack's such a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's got like a personality, which is not, like, you can't say for a lot of guys in the league that don't have person, because look at John Tavares during an interview. The guy does not give anything. Maybe he'll give a little smile, a little chuckle, yeah, but that he's not going to give you much. And that's most players. I mean, Matthews is the same thing. It's just the way it is. But Jack gives you a little bit of personality, a little bit. I mean, he'll still say his cliches, but.
It's so weird, though. In his draft profile, I swear it's like the opposite. They said, it says the only knock on Campbell is that he's so confident in his ability to make the save, he can sometimes make it more difficult on himself. It doesn't seem like this Campbell.
Wait, where'd you find that?
This is his draft profile from NHLDraft.com.
Oh, you actually found his draft.
Yeah, but they're all like this. All his scouting reports all say he was extremely confident. And I guess he is, but not
in a lot different way. Both. You come the ultra high where you're really confident, but then when you get low, you get really low. Yeah. Right? And he's at a low right now. I think he'll bounce back. I think that he will. It's just, you got to give him some more time off, which they are. Tonight, they're playing Mrazek, which is the Monday, for context, if you're listening to this, obviously, we're recording. They're playing, who are they playing?
Columbus.
They're playing Columbus, yeah. Playing Columbus tonight. So that's a thing. But I think that it's not something you could solve, obviously, like we said last week. It's not something you could solve in a trade. There's really not many options. Reimer's hurt now, but are you going to trade for Reimer? Is Reimer really going to make the difference? I'd love to have Reimer back. Yeah. I'd love to have him back just for the whole pomp and circumstance of it. But is that going to help you? Not really. Is a Semyon Varlamov going to help you? No. Not going to be any different. If he can't do well in front of Barry Trotz's system, what do you think he's going to do here?
Yeah.
The front of Leafs net is free real estate. It literally is free real estate. They do.
It's harder to be a goalie here with that defense. Mm-hmm.
Look at the Olofsson goal in the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
No. Did Olofsson? No, I don't think he pot. Oh, did he pot that rebound? Yeah, Mrazek was way out of his net, but like Olofsson was all alone. No one had him. He was just sitting in front of the net. No one near him.
Can we talk about Peter Mrazek's positioning? I swear, he does not know positioning whatsoever.
It was so bad.
Where the puck is not a thing he knows.
Yeah, he was, like, way past the post, too. He was out of the crease, past the post. It was bad.
Oh, Peter, with no E. Like, one E. That's how you know Peter's not going to make the save.
Yeah, but if you're Kyle Dubas, I mean, the worst thing you can really do as a GM is this position. You can't do much. You just gotta hope it turns around, and you just got to pray. There's nothing else you
can do. He said he has faith before in goaltending. Keith, after the game, was kind of like, he said we thought he should have had a save on some of them. But then recently, he's like, Campbell's our goalie. So he's going to figure it out.
Hey, you don't have another option. He's had a year and a half, well, shortened season last year, but a year and a half of confidence from the group, right? You got to think he'll turn it around. That's what you got to hope, right? It's the only thing you can hope. But if you're Dubas, do you have confidence? I mean, you don't have a choice, because you've already put confidence in during the offseason. Do you reward the club? Obviously, reward the club there, but, I mean, they're kind of falling down the standings now. They're not going to win the division. They're, like, what, 9 points out?
No, six.
They're only six? But they have a game in hand. I don't think they have a game in hand.
No, they don't have a game in hand.
They don't, right?
Pretty sure Tampa has 80 points, and they have 74, but they're third. And then Florida. Oh, wait, maybe Florida has 80. Yeah, Florida has 80. Tampa has 79. The Leafs have 74.
No, Tampa has 80. Florida 79, and at least have 74, and they all play the same amount of games.
Yeah. The only one, Boston's coming, but at least have a game on hand.
Yeah, they're 2 points. Boston's 2 points back, but the Leafs have a game in hand. Honestly, we talked about this before. I'd rather the Leafs honestly just fall into the first wild card. Pick your poison. You could play Tampa, you could play Florida, or you could play Carolina. None of them are good options.
No.
But it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're gonna stumble upon someone. What do you think? It's an easy, like, it's not an easy road.
No, you should be able to beat everybody if you're a cup contender.
You had your chance last year.
Yeah.
Right. You had your chance last year. You had your chance 2 years ago when you. Yeah. I mean, those qualifiers, but you could have played Columbus. Like, you played Columbus. That was a winnable series. Although the right side of that, Berry and CC, that just a mess.
Oh,
that
my.
In the back end. But the
worst defensive pairs, easily. And Edmonton is copying it now.
Yeah. They're another.
Edmonton
they're
is the copycat Toronto Maple Leafs right now. Hyman, CC, Berry. Anybody else?
I was going to say Ennis, but he's gone now. Oh, man. I think that's it.
They just took all like the supplementary pieces.
It's like Calgary and Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's like Calgary copying half of the roster.
Tanev, Toffoli.
Markstrom. Yeah. See.
Markstrom ranked 15 for my fantasy team.
Yep, in a trade. Yep. From me. It's okay.
I like to hear.
Got Kaprizov. Could have been much worse. Oh, it worked out for both of us. It doesn't even matter. We're not going to talk about it because I've lost much worse trades. Like Rust for Mike Smith.
Oh, the struggles of fantasy.
Oh, my God. Rust was hurt the whole year. Okay, not the whole year. Most of the year. But, of course, when he comes back after I trade him. Fantasy's just a... Oh, my God. But, yeah, I think the Leafs... This is what I... You know my analogy. They give you warning signs. I get migraines. Do I know when a migraine's coming? I do. Mm-hmm. I get warning signs. I get little symptoms that I know. Okay, well, my vision will get a little blurred. And my head will start to thump a little bit. I'll get a little headache, but I know it's going to get worse. So what do? I take an Advil. That's what I do. I take an Advil because I know it's coming. There's been too many warning signs this year. I know it's coming.
Damn.
Is it going to be different? It could be. But it just doesn't feel much more different than it has in the last 2 years. Last 6 years. Okay, well, I don't count that first year.
The Washington year?
I don't. No. It was.
They weren't supposed to be good.
They weren't supposed to win that series, anyways. It was 2017 where they're not supposed to win, but they had more expectation on them. But yeah, it's a thing where they need goaltending. They need anyone to just get bodies out of their net, like in front of their net. Just at least try and win some puck battles there, because right now you're letting guys own the front of the net, and you're not even challenging them anymore.
Yeah.
The rare time that Brody, he was in a scrum in front of the net on the
two of the goals.
Yeah, so there's some pushback, but it has to be more. And I mean, the loss of Muzzin doesn't help that at all.
No,
that's a big
look,
body.
Brody's on the second pair now.
Yeah,
and that's making Riley worse.
And that's helped Hall, but it's hurt Brody. I'm sorry, it's hurt Riley. Yeah. Look at the Riley Sandin pairing. That does not work.
No,
it's just it's like trying to fit. It's trying to, like, you know, the
square peg in a circle hole.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the little kids, they have to fit the shapes in the holes. It's exactly what it is. It's just too offensive. And Riley's been like that his whole career. He needed someone defensively responsible, like a Matt Hunwick or a Ron Hainsey. But this time they got a younger version, and it's worked. But look at how good Hall's been.
Yeah.
Right? As soon as Brody goes down there, Hall can do what he needs to do, and Brody kind of fixes a lot of the blemishes there.
And it was working last year when Muzzin was the defensively responsible
That's
one.
Why Hall
and he
was
still
good.
Is. It's just...
But he's a step slow this year.
Yeah.
That's what it is. How old is he now? 34, 35?
He's getting there.
He's getting up there.
I don't
there.
Think he's 35, but he could be 34.
I want to say he's 34. I might be wrong.
I hope not. He's like a 5-year deal.
Yeah, but that's already like 2 years in, no?
No.
He's 33.
Okay.
He's 33.
He'll be 38 at the end. Nice.
38? No.
His deal just kicked in this year.
Did it I thought it kicked in last year.
Oh, the end of last year. So the start of this year.
Well, does the money drop?
Oh, maybe.
The salary might drop. Obviously, the annual might. The cap hit, yeah, it's 5.
He's already
62,
losing
5.
Steps?
No, he started it last year. Last year was the first year.
So this is his second year.
There's two more years.
No, didn't he sign up? How many years did he sign?
4.
Okay, so it's not bad.
So it's 2 more years. So he'll be 35 by the end of it, I assume. Yeah, the base salary is so cheap. It's if you want to move it, because he makes $1 million in base this year, $2 million next year, and two the year after. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh my God, he's making $5.5 million in signing bonuses this year. Nice. Next year he makes $2 million. So it's basically like two. So someone like Arizona, if it's only like $2 million in actual dollars. They don't care about the cap.
Arizona's not out of their tire fire by then.
In 2 years, I don't know. I don't know if they will be. They got Clayton Keller and Chychrun, who could be gone in a month.
Keller's overrated to me.
Really?
Yeah.
He's had a really good year with nothing.
I know. I feel like it's because there's nothing. There's no expectations. It's a lot easier to do good in those type of situations.
Yeah. when they were contending, air quotes, contending, when they traded for Taylor Hall, he was, I think he was like, was he wasn't, he was just under point per game.
He's actually better now.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, but no expectations, but also, now. But he's also a year older.
Okay, maybe.
So, you know what I mean? You gotta take both with a grain of salt, right? But yeah, I think, yeah, this Muzzin contract, I think you can move it if you really want to, but I don't think they're going to.
No, they're not.
It depends. It depends how he plays next year. If he comes back, like, that's the thing. Do you keep? Dubas said he doesn't want to put him on LTIR. He said that.
No, he said he doesn't want to keep him on LTIR. He's already on it.
But you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to keep him long enough to try to create the space to create.
If he's healthy, he's going to play, basically.
Yeah, which, I don't know. Do you really believe that?
That's what he said.
But
is he healthy, like air quotes?
No. Well, that it's another concussion in the span of 2 months. He's not healthy. It's probably not the best thing for him to come back. No. But if you're a team that's cap constrained, like that's stuck in a cap crunch like the Leafs are, why don't you take the chance? It's unethical. Well, every other team in the league is doing it. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Tampa's doing it. Okay, Tampa did it. Vegas is doing it right now. Vegas is doing it with Martinez and with Stone now. I mean, Stone's actually hurt, but I don't know how much he actually his timeline is. Yeah, I don't know if he could come back.
Playing, he's point per game. So.
Yeah, I don't know if he could come back sooner. But if you're like, who cares about ethics? This is the way the CBA was drawn. Everyone can do it. Yeah. Do it. You want to win? I don't care how you win. They just won. Win.
Chicago did it 5 years ago, and they won, or 6 years.
Yeah, if you gotta do, it's not just them. A lot of teams. I don't know how much. There's a lot of money that's out there, like in the market, but there's not the cap room for it because the cap hasn't gone up in the last 2 years. So teams are gonna have to get creative anyways. So why don't you You don't even have to get creative. It's right in front of you. It literally fell on your. I mean, poor Jake Muzzin.
He's fine.
He's okay, and he heals up and plays back to how he was, and everything's okay with him health wise. But it fell in your lap. This is your chance to make a bigger move, right? I mean, I don't know how big of a move they'll make anyways.
Anything is all I request.
Yeah, but you have to make a move. You're going to make a move. You already made one move. Take advantage of it. Let Jake Muzzin, he has to rest up anyways. Two concussions in the span of 2 months. You have to monitor closely. Mm-hmm. It's not something with a set timetable anyways, but he's probably, you don't want to rush him. You want to take some precautions anyways. So there's 2 months left in the season. It's been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Around there. Maybe more.
More? So you do what you got to do. And you take advantage because every other team is going to. You can see the trade market. You thought it was going to kind of flare up as soon as the Toffoli deal happened, but nothing's happened.
Yeah.
It's
always going to be last second deals that'll happen.
Which is better. Yeah. Entertainment wise. For SportsNet and TSN, they're much better entertainment wise.
Yeah, also they're just guys sitting in their studio for 7 hours waiting.
Like James Duthie dreads that day, but at least there's something.
He's really good at it. Yeah. Fill time.
But you dread it more if there's nothing going on, which has happened many years because the NHL trade deadline is very hit or miss.
Yeah.
But it's just the way it is. I think it'll be a fine deadline, honestly.
Yeah. But the LTIR thing doesn't always work. Like, I know it worked for Tampa last year because Kucherov just casually stepped in. He knows the system. He's played in Tampa Bay for years. But say Stone now. He's on LTIR. Say he gets healthy or whatever, if he is hurt or not. I think he is. But say he gets healthy, he comes back for the playoffs. So they keep him out the rest of the year so they don't have to trade anybody for cap. Now he has to play with Eichel. He's never done that. Kucherov has played with all the players before. He slid right into the power play. He's like, oh, welcome back.
You could say the same thing with Muzzin too, right?
Yeah. But
the thing is, let's say they decide to make another move, which they probably are, like 9 times out of 10, or not 90% chance they make another deal for another defenseman. Does Justin Hall come out of the lineup and Jake Muzzin has a new partner that he's never played with?
Yeah, it doesn't always work.
That's the thing. You're taking a gamble at the same time. You're taking advantage, but you're also taking a gamble in certain situations. Kucherov wasn't a gamble, but
maybe they can get away with it because you're telling Muzzin, play with a really good defenseman. It's not that hard. And I guess you could say the same for Vegas. Hey, Eichel, meet the best winger you've ever played with. Shouldn't be too hard, but it's not always easy.
The difference with that is at least Eichel's got time to gel with everyone else too, right?
Yep.
So you kind of slot in Stone, and Stone knows the whole system, so it shouldn't be impossible to kind of, you know what I mean?
Eichel buzzer beater yesterday?
Yeah. Eichel's starting to pick it up. I think when Stone comes back, I'm not going to lie, I still like Calgary better.
You flip a Colorado.
No, I mean in the division. Oh. I mean in that division. I still like Calgary better because chances – Calgary's probably going to win the division, I think. No?
Close.
Is how close is it? I think – hasn't – Vegas hasn't even been that good lately, no? Or am I just thinking, not looking at like the big picture and just looking at the last few
games? Vegas is third in the division. Oh, okay, no, they're not winning.
Yeah.
Calgary's three games on hand and they're already winning the division.
They're going to – yeah, they're already 4 points up. Yeah, no, no. The Kings passed them. The Kings passed the Golden Knights. The Kings have been actually good this year.
No, they have the same amount of games.
And no, I'm saying the Kings pass them.
Yeah, but they can pass them.
No, they'll pass the Kings. I'm not saying that, but...
The Kings are weird.
Yeah, the Kings... And it's not even like...
Like, why are the Kings good?
It's not even like Byfield has been, like, really good this year when he came up.
Or Turcotte.
Mm-hmm. Is Turcotte not playing, no? I think he's still down in the minors.
Played a few games, I think, but not many.
Really?
He's not up right now.
I don't think he's... No. I don't think he spent any games up. Like, Kaliev did, Durzi did. Byfield's up now, but I don't think Turcotte did.
When did we give up on Turcotte?
Oh, you're right. He played 8 games. Yeah. He had no points in 8 games.
That's why.
And 2 penalty minutes. And he literally has no stats other than penalty minutes.
Oh, God.
Wasn't even on the ice for a goal. Okay, well, he's even on plus minus, but...
At least probably going to trade one of them. They have too many centers. Turcotte, Byfield, Deneau, but Kopitar.
Can Turcotte play the wing?
Okay, even if he can. Kopitar, Deneau, and Byfield? Why do I need...
But Kopitar's getting older, too.
But yeah, I think they want Byfield to slide in for Kopitar eventually. But so, like, why do you have Deneau? It's such a stupid signing.
Well, it's been good for them. It's not that stupid of a signing. There are much worse signings out there. Much worse. Look at Kevin Hayes. Look at... What's another one? I'm trying to think. The only one that pops into my head is Kevin Hayes because that contract is awful.
Oh, man.
The contract is so bad. Okay, Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner's not playing bad this year, but not $9 million good.
Okay, apparently Phil Deneau is having a resurgence season.
Yeah.
I take it back.
He's putting up points this year, too.
Last year he had 5 goals. He already has 16 this year.
Yeah. See? He's putting up points.
Didn't know that.
Bergevin ran right back to him. Left Montreal, and he's like, I'm going right back to Phil Deneau.
J. Todd McClellan,
that's
very
my,
proud
that's
of you.
That's my child. That's my baby. Mm-hmm. He loves Phil Deneau. Loves him. But no.
Speaking of Bergevin and the Habs.
Hmm?
Speaking of the Habs.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Since Bergevin left.
Yeah. Well, not since Bergevin left.
No,
Bergevin's been gone for a while.
Fine, since Ducharme left.
Yeah, St. Louis, ever since St. Louis has been in there, they've been great.
They've been magical.
What are they, 7-3? And they're 7-3?
7-3.
I think they're 7-3. Nick Suzuki's finally playing well. Cole Caulfield's finally playing well.
That's the big one.
Suzuki
was
like,
playing okay before.
But yeah, but
now he's okay. He's Suzuki again.
7 points his last 3 games. He has 7, 10, 13 in his last 6.
Wow.
Like, he's playing really well. They're even scoring. They're scoring shorthanded. They're scoring on the power play. They're scoring even, like, they're playing really well. Playing really good hockey. St. Louis kind of revitalized that offense. All of a sudden, this team can score. Yeah. And they lost Tyler Toffoli.
Well, technically, one of their lines can score, but yes.
No, but even during the season, they weren't playing that well. Yeah. Like, none of them. They couldn't get saves. Now they're getting saves. All of them, they win 4-3 against Edmonton the other night?
They're just, like, happier to play. I think Sherratt the other day, he's like, I'm just happy to come to the rink. Yeah. Or maybe it's Petrie. I think Petrie said it. It's not, it's depressing it's a mental when thing you're
too. Yeah, especially that bad. Especially a franchise where you're getting much scrutiny as you do in the media and just overall the atmosphere. Like, the Habs aren't winning. It's not good for hockey at all. Mm-hmm. It's not good for revenues. It's not good for just the public image. It's just not good. That's why it's when the Habs are winning, it's a good thing. Although we may be Leaf fans and we hate the Habs, I don't want to see them winning. It's good for the league when the Habs are winning because they're probably they're the third most valuable franchise now because I think it's Rangers, Leafs, Habs.
Yeah, probably.
But, right, it's one of the hockey meccas of the world. Yeah. When they're succeeding, everyone's succeeding, especially Gary isn't big on bringing a franchise to Quebec City, but when Montreal being bad is not good for business. And Gary's all about business. Yeah. Doesn't care about the sport. But, yeah, they're playing well. And the question is, if you're the Habs, do you regret trading Tyler Toffoli now? Obviously not for this year. Obviously not for next year and the year after that. Because even Caulfield's playing well. St. Louis is going to – I heard something. St. Louis, so you know how they said – he's not a guarantee to stick around.
Yeah, he's interim.
Right? He's interim. He still has that tag, and they'll just take it as they will, play by ear. Not play by ear, but evaluate, then they'll see.
The end of the season. Yeah.
Apparently, I heard that it wasn't the Habs that were
him,
that were against it, or not against it, but that were really wanted to be contingent on that. It was him that said he wasn't sure. Apparently, it was more on. It's not if the Habs want him back; it's more if he wants to be back.
Yeah, he probably didn't know if he was going to like coaching. He's never done it before.
Yeah, and right now, I mean,
he likes it.
I mean, when you're playing as well as you are right now, although you're not going to contend anything, like for anything right now, you know, you have some fun. Especially, I'm sure get along with Caulfield and all those guys. A lot of young guys in the room, anyways, and you're going to be a light guy in the locker room when you're winning like this. As soon as you come in and you turn around your season a little bit,
he has the respect.
Yeah, but if you trade a guy like Toffoli, obviously they're not going to go into a full rebuild. It's going to be a heavy. It might be a heavy retool.
It's going to be like what the Rangers did.
Yeah,
exact same thing.
Well,
I feel like
they have more pieces than the Rangers did at the time.
Okay, so even less then.
They're
retooling around their core.
Yeah, and they have the core. They had the Suzuki. They had the Suzukis and the Caulfields. Like they have guys. And a guy like Toffoli would be nice for when Nick Suzuki's contract kicks in, cheap cap hit, provides good secondary, could even be primary scoring. Depends
on, some teams,
on how
he
plays last year. Was
team,
story this year was secondary scoring. Now you see him in Calgary, he's playing really well.
The third line.
Yeah. No, I think they moved him up. I want to say they moved him up. Let me check.
But he's still getting second line minutes, so yeah, regardless.
He's playing first power play.
Yeah, there you go.
They had him down on the second, and they finally moved him up. Daryl Sutter. No, he is playing third line. Oh, my God. He's playing with Lucic and Monahan. But 5-on-5 doesn't really matter because he's playing on that power play, and he's playing well.
Yeah.
And he adds a little bit of scoring to their bottom six. It was a good trade. The Habs got a good return, but if you're hoping to retool instead of full rebuild, then it's not going to be beneficial to you.
Yeah,
you're going to miss a guy like that come next year when you're trying to make the playoffs, you're contending for a playoff spot. Like,
yeah,
you miss it.
If you plan to contend for the playoffs in 2 or 3 years, then maybe you don't need him. But if you plan to contend for the playoffs next year, then maybe you regret it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they plan to contend by next year.
They could. Everything's gone wrong for them this year.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like, could they make a playoff run next year? I mean, I think most guys are under contract other than Sherrod, but you move a guy like with expiring term, obviously you move guys unless you plan to extend them, then you don't.
Well, that depends on Carey.
Is Carey playing? I think Carey's going to come back. With how well the team's playing, I'm sure he wants to come back.
Yeah, but he's older.
You're not going to move that contract. That contract's way too big, too much term.
They said they may want to move Weber's contract because he's basically retired.
See, and that points towards all signs of we're not looking to contend in the, because how many years is left on Weber's deal?
A few? He signed like a 14-year deal. It was when those were still a thing.
Oh.
Because I think what happened was he was offer sheeted and then they had to match it because they didn't want to lose franchise defensemen.
Let me check it because
he signed a long deal.
Oh, yeah. So he has, other than this year, he has 4 years left. Yeah. That's a long time for some LTIR space, right? That'll be valuable to a lot of teams, especially with a $7.8 million cap hit.
If they're trading it, doesn't that mean they want to contend?
No.
Or else they keep it.
If you'd want to contend, you keep it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because then you want that LTIR space because then you can spend a little, right? You go over the cap. That's what I think. So do they want to, but it depends what they get back. You can definitely get what did the Leafs get for Clarkson?
But he was playing at the time.
No, he wasn't. They the second time they traded for him.
Oh, the second time.
Oh wait,
the first time he played, and then
he disappeared. They just signed him out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
You're saying,
yeah,
that was straight sign.
And then he just disappeared after.
Yeah, but the trade.
Oh, from Vegas.
It was just for Garrett Sparks.
But what a steal.
How much was the contract though? Like, was it a big hit? I don't think it was a big hit.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't $7 million. Probably get more.
He signed for seven. Yeah, it was a contract the Leafs gave him in the end. He had an average salary of 5.25.
Okay.
So how much more are you going to get on the market? But that was kind of before the big wave of let's circumvent the cap.
But it didn't have this many years either, did it? When the Leafs got it the second time, it didn't have much left on it. Maybe a year.
That's also true.
This has 4 years.
What year did they trade for him? The deal, the last year of the deal was 2019.
They must have traded. I swear they did it at the deadline, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember, but this article's from July 2019.
Oh, maybe they
that
the
was
off-season.
The second time. Oh, they acquire a fourth round pick for David Clarkson from Vegas. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, they got a fourth and Clarkson for Sparks. Oh, man.
Okay, Weber, could Weber get a third?
But seven, especially now because Tampa, teams like Tampa and teams like Vegas. See, you know who I could see doing that? And it makes a lot of sense? A team like Minnesota. You're going to be in cap hell next year. And you want to contend. Like this year, they're kind of on a free fall right now. But a team like Minnesota be a really good idea.
The Suter and Parise contracts. Yeah,
those contracts are going to kick in, and they are in hell. They're going to have like $14 million in dead cap.
That's where Marco Rossi comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
He has to. Like that's we're why, also going to get scoring for cheap.
That's why I'm perfect. Surprised that Boldy, they kicked in this contract this year. I'm really surprised.
He was ready. That's why.
He was ready.
They have to do it.
I mean, yeah, they're trying to win this year. That's the thing. But they're not going to. Their goaltending has not been good. Kakin has been a little better than Talbot, but they've not been good.
Yeah, they're short at center and they're short in net.
Yeah. Ryan Hartman hasn't been as good as he was before the, I want to say All-Star break, but even before then, even.
Carried by Kirill.
Yeah, basically. Him and Zuccarello.
Zuccarello is pretty, like, he holds his own.
Yeah, weight. No, I know. I'm saying he gets carried.
He works perfectly with Kaprizov, so it's.
Yeah, and now he's off the first power play. That dropped his production. Zuccarello? Completely. No, Hartman.
Oh, that's aggressive. Wait,
because Boldy replaced him and just dropped his production, and that's what's gonna happen when you're on the second power play and you're not playing with Kaprizov anymore. And I'd put a top half of the league. Top half of the league power play.
Their power play?
Yeah,
must be.
It's within the top half of the league, I think. But yeah, I could see a team like them trading for it. It would make sense for both sides, but what do you have to give up? You probably have to give up a second, especially because there's. That high.
That's worth it to me if I'm Minnesota. Yeah,
if you're Minnesota because you're in cap hell anyways.
Gagarin, step it up here.
You have it's like in Edmonton. You have McDavid and you have Draisaitl. Every single year is a go for it year. I don't care.
Yeah, except for the fact that.
But last year, Ken Holland didn't want to do anything. Yeah. I don't care. Like, seriously, you have the best player in the world and another top five player in the world. You go for it every year. I don't care. Get them a goalie. Get them some depth, which they have a little bit of. A little
forward
more
depth they got this year.
It's not that bad.
Recently.
Defensively, they're awful.
Yeah.
How do you reward them by signing CC to 3 years? Then you re-sign. Barry had a good year last year. I understand why you re-signed him. It wasn't that much of a cap. I think it's like five something or
like four
something.
Or five. Yeah, he had a good deal.
But it's a good deal when he's producing because he's not going to provide anything on the other side of the
ice. Barry's for the power play. If he's not producing on the power play.
It's useless. Yeah. He's not going to do anything else. No, that. How do we go for tangent from the Habs? Oh my God, we were on the Habs.
Yeah.
No, but the
Habs. It's all connected. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think if you're trying to contend, you keep the Weber deal. You might as well.
Yeah.
You might as well keep it. Unless you can get. Why do I feel like they can kind of get a first for it? No. Because teams only because
a second, yes.
COVID really, really messed everything up with the cap. And I think that a team is going to be really desperate to get some cap space, really desperate. Like, a team like Vegas is going to be desperate. Alec Martinez isn't coming off the books. Mark Stone, let's see who's coming off the books. Before we end it off, let's look who's on the books for them.
They're stuck.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money.
They got a lot of money and a lot of guys. Let's see what's coming off the books. Riley Smith's coming off the books.
Okay, they got to resign him, though. You got to resign those guys. Like, you need forwards. He's one of their top six forwards. You're going to let him go?
Is he going to sign for five again?
Is he better than five? Maybe six.
I think maybe it's at five. I think you kind of repeat the deal. Yeah. And then, okay, like Brett Howden's like making 885 RFA.
They're stuck.
There's not much. Nicholas Waugh comes off the book, 750. He's an RFA, though. Keegan Kolsar, 725 RFA. Then on defense, you don't have like a lot of money coming off the books.
No.
So if you're a team, even them, maybe you make a deal. Maybe someone's going to be desperate. Someone's going to be really desperate.
That's where bad deals get made, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give a first for Weber's contract. Maybe a second.
A second, I can see. It has a lot of value.
Yeah.
Is it like for as far as retired players' contracts go, it has a lot of value.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I'd give a second and a third, but I wouldn't give a first.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I'd even give a second and a third together.
You don't give up any bodies. I don't care if it's a prospect. If it's you don't give up any bodies in that deal.
Unless it's like the guy they traded for Marc-Andre Fleury, who I still don't remember his name. I don't remember. Which is a concern.
Yeah. So, I think that makes sense. It would make sense for both sides, unless the Habs want to contend. But it doesn't look like they're if that's coming up in rumors. It doesn't look like that's a big sticking point for them. So yeah, we're gonna end it off there.
Yep.
Another
good job, Marty St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis. He's gonna extend that contract. He's gonna go back.
Yep.
Another
the interim stick.
Thanks for listening, as always, and we'll see you next week.